Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I've had a chance over the last 10 or 14 years or whatever it is since I became an activist, and then radio started about 10 years ago. So I've had a chance to interact with people in the pro-life movement, which should be every Christian on the face of the planet. But I've had a chance to interact with all kinds of people and all kinds of stories and all kinds of organizations on the national level, on a statewide level, on a local level. And there's some of my heroes in the faith, many of the people that I've worked with and dealt with and been taught by. This particular story that we're going to unpack today, with a crisis pregnancy center that happens to be here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live and broadcast from. I love, because I love conflict. I guess I just love conflict. And so a crisis pregnancy center decides to buy a house right next door to an abortion clinic. Now that is the gates of hell and the kingdom of heaven right there doing business next door to each other. So you're driving down the street, and it would be like in your neighborhood, Adolf Hitler lives in one house and Mother Teresa lives in the other house, and they're neighbors. And you can imagine the kind of warfare that goes on there. That's exactly what's happening in this story. This is not, unfortunately, a unique story to Raleigh, North Carolina or North Carolina. This is the type of stuff that goes on all over this country as the forces of darkness come against the forces of light. And specifically, and we're going to talk about the case in California where they're trying to force crisis pregnancy centers to tell women that come in about abortion clinics. Which is compelled speech, which is ridiculous. So we're going to talk about that as well. But I met Tanya Nelson not that long ago. She's the founder and CEO of Hand of Hope, and that's handofhope.net here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And she obviously is not just some wimpy chick. right, Tanya, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, thank you so much, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's great to have you on. And so how did you get into this? How'd you get into the life movement? Talk about Hand of Hope. And then we'll unpack how you got yourself and how God got you into this little battle that's going on.
Right. So Hand of Hope started actually from a follow-up study called Purpose Driven Church by Rick Warren. So our church had done Purpose Driven Life. And then that follow-up study was purpose-driven community, or it might have been purpose-driven church. And one of the things that you were tasked to do at the end of that study was go find a need in your community and fill that need. Mm. And so
when was that?
That was in that study was actually in 2003. So fast forward a couple, like we opened 2004, and the need we determined that was a huge gaping hole in our community was pregnancy center. In the class, the Sunday school class that I was in, there were actually four or five women in that class who had experienced an unplanned pregnancy.
Wow.
So it was very real to them, because even years now, looking back on that, abortion in the church follows the world.
Sure.
So it's not just, you know, an us versus them kind of thing.
Right.
It's us too. So that was the need that we determined was a real gaping hole in our community, and we wanted the church, the body of Christ, believers, to fill that need, and that's what we did.
So Hand of Hope came out of that.
Yes.
And then what do you guys do? And then we'll talk about where you do it.
Right. So our main draw is free pregnancy testing and free ultrasounds. And that's what we say all the time is we are not monetarily invested in your decision. We're invested in you as a human being created in the image of Christ. So that's why we never charge for our services and don't intend to charge for our services. Everything we do is free and confidential to the best of our ability. So free pregnancy testing, free ultrasounds, free STI testing, free life skills education.
Yeah.
That means if those parents decide that they're going to parent that child and carry that child to term, then we will make sure that we come alongside them and mentor them. We mentor them until the baby's 2 years old. So we essentially spend about 3 years of their life with them, doing life with them.
Yeah.
So that's our main draw. That's what we do. We do offer post-abortion healing for men and women that need to heal from an abortion, because we are huge proponents of saying there is not a single sin that Jesus Christ does not
Amen.
Forgive.
That's right. Exactly.
And that includes abortion.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I'm so glad you said that. So, you know, the old saying, you can't choose your neighbors.
Right.
But in this case, you did.
Yes.
And you chose the nastiest flipping neighbor that one could choose. Right. So how did this even happen?
Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, we originally opened Hand of Hope in Fuquay, because as you can probably tell from this accent, that's where I'm from.
Thought Fuquay might have been a suburb of Manhattan or something.
No. So we opened originally in Fuquay, and then so a few years into that being in Fuquay, we determined that we were really truly called to be light to that man and that woman who think that abortion is their only option. There's not an abortion clinic in Fuquay. So the closest abortion clinic to Fuquay is on Jones Franklin Road in Raleigh. So we just began.
And how far, what kind of distance is that for people that are outside this area?
So it's probably about 20 miles.
Yeah, so not too far. In the same market.
Right, definitely in the same market. So we determined that that's where we wanted to be, and the board got together. We prayed about it one time. I really thought there's no way they're going to go for this. They're going to say, Tanya, are you crazy? We're not ready to grow like that just yet. We had one meeting, Steve, and everybody was like, yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
And so we were able to secure a location on Jones Franklin Road. So we've been operational there for coming up on 7 years in June. So we've been doing business on Jones Franklin Road.
Now, how far away from the actual abortion clinic?
It's within walking distance.
Yeah, so pretty close.
Yeah, it's across the street. Yeah, within walking distance. The name of that location is called Your Choice Pregnancy Clinic. And another reason, absolutely we chose that name because we wanted to take the word choice back.
Yeah, amen.
Because when she's in the throes of that decision-making process, life is still a choice.
Amen.
Life is still a choice. So, and whether she chooses that or not, that's her business. But we want to make sure that she has that opportunity to make that choice for life, and that he has the tools he needs to help her make that choice for life and be that baby's daddy.
And when does the house literally next door on the same side of the street, when did that house come into the picture?
So we bought that property in December of 2015.
And you bought it for obvious reasons.
We bought it because we needed to own our own space, and the space where we're currently operational was not for sale at the time. And we needed to own our own space, and I knew we wanted to stay on Jones Franklin Road in close proximity to, our neighbors who were doing this, reaching this, looking for the
And that's
the
where
same
the forces of darkness coming in.
Let's try it all together.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. TheSteveNobleShow.com. And by the way, we're super excited on Monday because God is expanding our footprint one more time. And four more times, because on Monday, and we're excited about this with our friends at Wilkins Radio, they cleared the live slots for us in Indianapolis, in Kansas City, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then here in my home state of North Carolina, Asheville, where there's 22 Christians and 37 conservative people in Asheville, North Carolina. But we're going to be live in all four of those markets starting on Monday. So
That's awesome.
Just praise God for that.
Congratulations.
And need everybody's help, but I'll tell you about that later. We'll talk about that on Monday. Today, talking about something really even more important than the radio show by far, which is the fight for life and the fight for our children. Hand of Hope, handofhope.net here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Tanya Nelson is the founder and the CEO, who's been sharing with us about how all got started. And then they moved from kind of an outskirts suburb area closer into the city of Raleigh. And then they had an opportunity to buy a house literally right next door to an abortion clinic. So, Tanya, you guys did that. And that's where this story gets far more interesting, because you need to go deal with some zoning.
Right.
Because you don't normally run any kind of a thing like a pregnancy crisis center out of a home. So
right.
You got a little zoning thing. So what happened there? And then we're going to meet one of our friends from Alliance Defending Freedom here in a minute.
Right. So we bought the property in December of 2015. And then shortly thereafter, we submitted the rezoning application to take our property from residential to mixed use. So mixed use is exactly what the zoning is, where we operate down the street at Your Choice. And then mixed use is also what our neighbors were. So we put that in and everything looked great. We, you know, crossed every T, dotted every I. It was a little bit difficult. They did ask us to do, they suggested that we do a couple of things that weren't mandatory. And we did that. We had those neighborhood meetings and fielded questions and listened. And so everything passed unanimously. Planning and zoning passed it unanimously. Our rezoning application, and then it got to the city council meeting, and it didn't pass. It didn't pass.
And so, how did that affect you?
I was not happy by any stretch of
imagination. Yeah, so it seemed like all of a sudden this was not about zoning. Was that kind of the sense that you got? I mean, we can't read into their hearts, but listen, we've been at this game for a while.
Right, exactly. I'm not naive. I understand there are, you know, two sides of the issue, and yeah, there were some people that did not want us to be operational in that neighborhood, although we've already been operational in that neighborhood for a while. So it was very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yep. And I wanted to know why have we gotten this far with, yep, this fits, this is right, we're good to go. And all of a sudden, oh, never mind.
So how quick did it take you to get to the point where you're like, okay, we've got a legal fight on our hands?
Well, we knew kind of going into it, even before the final city council, the initial city council meeting, even before that, we kind of had heard, we were on to, okay, this is probably not going to be as easy as you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And there are people that do not want you to be there.
Well, listen, anybody that's dealt with government at any level could have told you that.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Not insider information. Right. That's duh information.
Yeah, right,
especially
exactly.
If you're a conservative, especially if you're a Christian, especially if you're pro-life, just about any government entity in this country, you're going to come up against it at one level or another.
Right.
That's just going to be the way it is.
Yeah. So the initial city council meeting, they put a delay on that because there was some kind of mix up with the notices that were sent out to the area neighbors.
Yeah.
So that was continued until a later date. So really in between that week too, we kind of figured, oh, this might not go as well as we thought it would be. It's not as cut and dried as it had looked like it was going to be. So in that interim, and then even shortly after the city council denied our rezoning, I was flooded with attorneys who were saying, hey, let us help you fight this. And we had already, you know, contacted an attorney prior to even purchasing the property. So we knew what we were doing
right,
on
but
that.
But this is altogether a different kind of case.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you know, I became an activist back in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And the organization that I got hooked up almost with immediately in our first year and a half, was Alliance Defending Freedom. It was Alliance Defense Fund at the time, but Alliance Defending Freedom, which really is the number one Christian group of attorneys across the country that have their own attorneys. And then, of course, they have allied attorneys across the country, and one of those you got to know, right?
Yes.
So tell me about Noel, and then we'll bring him into the conversation here.
Noel has fast become, you know, a lifelong friend. I can just tell it's forged in fire, and we have very same foundational belief system about, you know, right and wrong, and, you know, he's a believer. And that makes all the difference in the world to us, and he is a strong friend for the preborn, and I truly believe, I know for a fact, you know, I just prayed, Lord, who am I supposed to use? Which one of these attorneys am I supposed to go with?
Yep.
And it just, the timing of it all and the clarity of, like, the Lord clearly said, this is who I want you to go with. And we did it.
Yeah. Noel Sterrett is with Mock and Baker out of Chicago. He's an Alliance Defending Freedom allied attorney. And the fact that you picked a Chicagoan. You know, because I'm a Chicagoan.
Yeah.
And you either love us or hate us, but you're going to know what our deal is. Would you agree with that assessment there, Noel? Noel, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I definitely would agree with that. I handle cases all across the country in the land zoning context for ministries, and my treatment across the country typically goes with how that community views Chicagoans generally.
Well, you've got my vote, and since I'm a Chicagoan, I can vote twice. But anyway, let's get to the business at hand. So, what was your first reaction when you heard this case that Hand of Hope purchases property, a house next door to an abortion clinic. The city says yes, then the city says no. And then what say you, Noel, when you started finding out about it?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not surprised. I do this. I represent churches, ministries of all sorts and kinds across the country. And ultimately, what's happened in America is the municipal governments have become the primary infringers of religious liberty, and it's primarily through the land use context. The courts have given such deference to the municipalities to just essentially go through their zoning powers and create layers of regulation and layers of control. And now, in many respects, we have little political boards that can micromanage what happens on every corner. Mm-hmm. And it's no doubt that has led to a lot of conflicts with civil liberty. If you want to serve the homeless, if you want to serve pregnant women in your community, if you want to have an open door for the gospel, you're going to run into a political board that may not know anything about the Constitution, may not know anything about the Federal Religious Land Use Act, but they know they don't like you or they don't like your cause. And when you have the deck stacked against you, you run into these issues. And zoning has really become a power that's gone way beyond what it should. And it's turned into kind of a gatekeeper mentality. You know, we don't want you here. We don't want you there.
Sure.
The neighbors don't want you. And the politicians are, they're playing around with a lot of power.
And just as a little gospel reminder, the people involved at this, at the city of Raleigh, city council, all that stuff, they are our opposition, but they are not our enemy. We have one enemy. We pray for the lost. We pray for those that are confused. We have one enemy. His name's Satan. Mm-hmm. And we know what his deal is. But these people, we do not hate them. Right. We do not wish ill upon them. They are just our opposition in this particular case. So what's the city of Raleigh basing their maneuvers on there, Noel?
Well, that's kind of changed. It shifted. Initially, they, like Tanya said, green-lighted everything. Zoning, planning, looked at it, said, hey, this is exactly how our future land use map says that we should rezone it. So there's no problem. All right, green light. But the city council had other decisions, and they came up with a list of them. And in my opinion, they're arbitrary and capricious and, you know, something saying that, oh, well, we don't want to rezone that property now. We'd rather rezone it with all the other parcels.
Well, hold that. Hey, Noel, hold that thought right quick, because we're going to keep talking about that on the other side of the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Sorry about the little mistake at the end of the last segment. So we just had a little technical problem / human error. But all's good. Grace and mercy, grace and mercy. And so we're talking to Noel Sterrett, who is an attorney with Mock and Baker out of Chicago, which is where I used to live. And so that should explain a lot to you. But he's with also an allied attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, talking about this case with Hand of Hope, which is here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bought a house right next to an abortion clinic, and we wanted to set up operations there, obviously, and be a crisis pregnancy center. At first, the city says, okay, fine, and then turn it around. It gets more political. It gets a little darker. They change their mind. No, no, no. City council gets involved. And now you've got a legal issue and a legal fight. So we were talking to Noel before the break, and we were kind of getting into the nitty gritty of the legal side of this. And Noel, I asked you about the kind of the case that the city made. So we had that little technical thing. So let's just back up about 30 seconds from our last conversation. And please reiterate for us, what case is the city of Raleigh making against Hand of Hope? And then how will that case get dismantled?
Yeah, so they decided to come up with reasons as to why to deny it. And obviously they had received green lights from the zoning and planning, and they had been marching forward. And it was, they were asking for the same rezoning that the future land use map of Raleigh, which Raleigh puts together. Raleigh says to the community, hey, this is how we want to rezone it. And Hand of Hope says, okay, well, then rezone it that way. And so it makes sense that they would get it. They had a reasonable expectation that they would receive it. When it got political, they came up with other reasons, and I don't think that those were legitimate reasons. Now, what ended up happening is we filed suit. Now, the law, we have the Constitution, we have the First Amendment. One of the primary things that Hand of Hope does is they try to speak to women and fathers and mothers about the life that this young woman has inside of her. They can use textbooks, they can use pamphlets, but the other thing, perhaps the most powerful tool that they have at their disposal is the ultrasound image. It gives voice to the unborn. I have four kids. So I've watched all four of my kids communicate in the most powerful way to me as I sat there next to my wife, and I watched my son and daughter dance or suck their thumb or wave their hand. Nothing the doctor could have told me that day would have been as powerful to me as the statement that my unborn child
made. Just by point of clarification, Noel, that sounds like a father that's using flowery language to talk about seeing his kids for the first time, but there's actually legal precedent for this issue as speech. Is that correct? Which takes us into the freedom of speech, First Amendment context of this case.
Yeah, so obviously ultrasounds are a newer technology, but the Supreme Court says the First Amendment adapts to the technology that as it comes. Obviously, there was a day that where we didn't have video. But there were basically cases that had to say, well, is video a form of speech? Of course it is. And so I'm the argument that we're making here is that the use of ultrasound imaging is a primary manner in which we communicate the message about the life inside the woman. And not only the voice that we want to portray, which is here's your baby, but also the voice of the unborn. And we actually had a case. I had a case in Elgin, Illinois, where we had a federal court judge who struck down a municipality's effort to use zoning and land use regulations to shut down a mobile ultrasound clinic. And this judge got it, and he wrote an opinion in which said that the ban on this mobile ultrasound clinic placed an undue burden on a woman's right to choose life. And that's right out of Roe, but he turned it around and says if there's going to be a choice, she must also be able to choose life. And that's why Hand of Hope exists. That's why Your Choice exists, to say if there's going to be a choice, let us champion the cause of life, allow women to know that there's more choices than just abortion, because that's all the choice that essentially many abortion clinics present you with. And how do we do that? Well, the ultrasound imaging is key. So after we filed suit, we said, hey, by the way, you permit ministries here, you permit civic organizations, nonprofit offices. We're a nonprofit. We're a ministry of the church. We are organized, as Tanya said, out of a small group that said, hey, how do we care for the young women? We are followers of Jesus, and we want to lay our lives down, serve them, give them free things, support them through prayer. There's so much of what they do at Your Choice is supporting young women in the midst of this uncertainty and young fathers. So many of these women come laden with fear and uncertainty or ignorant of what they're actually carrying.
Right.
And the ultrasound is the primary way to give a window into the womb.
So this is a federal case, right? It's sitting before Judge Earl Britt, who's federal superior court? Where is that? District court?
Yeah, so the United States District Court in Raleigh. And the Honorable Judge Britt has the case. And so we've been litigating and, we'll be litigating it to trial, hopefully. And obviously we're, like any plaintiff, we're hopeful for a victory because we're championing the right to the freedom of speech and also raising our claim under the Federal Religious Land Use Act, which protects ministries and churches and religious groups of all sorts in the land use zoning context.
Yeah, and so this is a legal battle at this point, far more than it is a political battle, but that's a reality in the background. What do you expect from the city of Raleigh in terms of their defense of their case?
Well, I don't like to project what my opposing counsel is going to do. I certainly hope that we can resolve a case. I'm always open to settling and resolving a case because I think that's almost always best.
Sure.
And judges know that as well. And so our heart and our prayer is always that we can resolve this short of trial, but that doesn't mean that we won't go to trial if need be. And so we will continue to work towards litigating the case. Thankfully, in the United States, we have courts of law, we have the rule of law, we have strong protections for religious groups like Hand of Hope. And so we'll remain optimistic, but as any follower of Jesus knows, there's always admonition,
right.
Possible. Make every effort to live at peace and to resolve your matter before you get to court. So
Romans 12:18 and other places. That's right. Well, I was going to remind everybody, so let's make sure we're praying, for Tanya and the staff at Hand of Hope. Let's make sure we're praying for Not Noel Sterrett, who's the attorney and the Alliance Defending Freedom allied attorney. Pray for Judge Earl Britt. We're going to do that at the end of the show on Facebook Live. We'll pray for all these people and pray for the opposing people, the opposing counsel, and the people at the abortion clinic as well. And one thing, you and Tanya Nelson's here in the studio with me, the founder and CEO of Hand of Hope, which is handofhope.net here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And by the way, whether you live here or not, it's irrelevant. We should all be. No Christian on the planet has an excuse, especially in the United States of America, for not supporting some crisis pregnancy center. So if you're not supporting one in your own town or you don't know of any, here's one. It's right in front of your face, and now you're responsible for the knowledge that you've been given by me. So don't blame me. Blame the Lord. Handofhope.net is another way you can support that. But Tanya's here in the studio. And Tanya, you actually went to the U.S. Supreme Court recently to see a case out of California, and I wanted to ask Noel about that as well. So tell us about that case, and then I'll get Noel's legal expertise in on that.
So the California State Legislature mandated that crisis pregnancy centers in California in all their advertising had to also inform these men and these women where they could get an abortion and that it would be subsidized by the government in like 13 different languages or something like that. So I just wanted to be at the Supreme Court to support my brothers and sisters who are in this very real spiritual battle of speaking for the preborn through pregnancy centers and to let them know that we are praying for y'all and we feel very strongly that no government should be able to compel you to speak and give referrals and give credence to something that you are completely morally opposed to.
Yeah, it's a terrifying possibility. It would set a horrible precedent out. It's like, hey, I'm going to the Ford dealer, and the Ford dealer is compelled by the government to tell me that there's a sale down the street at the Honda dealer.
Correct.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Right. And even worse, at the Honda dealer where all their cars blow up. Now, I'm not saying Honda cars blow up. That was a Pinto in the 1960s. Right. But Noel, the 1970s. Noel, so tell us about the legal precedent of this case, because it sounds ridiculous, and it sounds like compelled speech, which obviously is illegal.
Yeah, well, I don't want to overcomplicate it because, frankly, your gut reaction is the reaction I think most of the Supreme Court justices have, and it's a very straightforward matter of law. It's one of the what the Supreme Court has called a fixed constellation of First Amendment jurisprudence, which is you can't compel somebody to promote a message that they find disagreeable. And pregnancy centers aren't commercial. That's the other thing that we can't forget. Nobody's selling anything. This is a bunch of wonderful people that are giving of their time and serving in a way that says, you know, the needs of the pregnant women and husbands and fathers, we're going to serve them and we're going to give everything to them for free. And so what California did was they went out and targeted the pregnancy centers and all the Supreme Court justices. And I was very proud. I went to the argument as well.
Yeah.
I think I was the first attorney in. I watched as even the more pro-abortion minded judges of Justice Ginsburg started to ask questions, and Justice Sotomayor asking questions like, you know, doesn't it seem like, you know, that this is a targeted thing? Like, why wouldn't you require this of all
the
pregnancy centers, all the hospitals? And it was fairly clear from the outset that they're going to have a hard time winning that case. And I'm very optimistic.
Praise the Lord for that. We're up against a break. Noel Sterrett, thank you, brother, for being on. Malkin Baker in Chicago, ADF allied attorney. Thank you, brother, for all your work. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure. Okay, man, we'll talk to you later. We'll be right back with Tanya and one of my heroes right after this. Don't interrupt Toby Mack.
I was going to say Toby Mack.
I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm telling you right now, there's no other Christian talk radio show that has good bump music like we do.
Yeah.
Because it's mostly stuffy and boring. And if it's got a beat, you know, because like in my faith tradition now, you don't want no dancing because it might lead to sex.
Yes.
So if you have any music that kind of makes you want to move, all of a sudden you're like, you're in the devil's corner.
Yes.
I don't even know how I got on that tirade. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. And yes, we're having fun, which we can do. But this is also one of the most serious things we can talk about besides lostness and the gospel itself. But the issue of life. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a bunch of older Christian friends of mine last night. And we were and I asked them, this is like an older group. In their 70s, and I was talking to them last night. I got on the issue because I said to them, I said, okay, this might offend somebody in the room. or on the radio. I do not know how any Christ-following believer of the Bible can vote ever for a Democrat simply, and I had the Democrat Party platform, simply based on the issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. And then I asked them, how many of you people in the room have seen the Vietnam War Memorial? And they all the hands go up. I said, okay, there's 58,000 names on the Vietnam War Memorial of men and women that lost their lives during that war. It's 465 feet long. If you were to build a memorial for all the dead children since Roe v. Wade, about 60 million, same basic dimensions, how long would it be? And they're guessing. And the answer is 72 miles. Mm-hmm. 72 miles long, which if you plug in 72 miles from the location of the Vietnam War Memorial down 395, like let's say you're going south towards Richmond or Raleigh or whatever, and you go 72 miles down, that's a big chunk. If you live, if you're listening on Truth Radio here in Raleigh, North Carolina, we have a kind of an outer belt line like a lot of cities, and then we have an inner belt line. The inner belt line is called 440. That wall at 72 miles long would wrap around 440 five times. So you slow down long enough to be able to read those names, mile after mile after mile. And for a Christian to name the name of Jesus and not have some uncomfortable burden in your spirit for the unborn is, I just don't get it. And, and believe me, I used to be that way. But then I started paying attention and I got educated. And then that's why people like Tanya and people like Jan Lewis, who's joining us now, who's been in the fight for 35 years, are some of my heroes, because they were in it before I was even alive spiritually. And when I was alive spiritually, it took me a while to get alive to the life issue. But it's the, besides the gospel, I think it's the preeminent issue for us as believers in America. So for you ladies, and thank God for you, and thank you for your tireless service. And Jan, 35 years, literally, you are one of my heroes. And I just love you and adore you and appreciate you. And you have my infinite levels of respect. But what's this been like spiritually? So this is the forces of the darkness. This is a nightmare. This is you guys versus an abortion clinic. We're talking about federal court. This is a big deal. But talk to us about the spiritual side of this as you've walked down this road.
Well, it's huge. It's a major factor in the daily battle. But, you know, I think that's God knew this was going to happen before I did, clearly. And I like the Old Testament. And so I think the Old Testament teaches us a lot of things. You know, when you read stories about the Israelite children who, you know, went over and looked in the Promised Land, and 10 of them said, oh, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, giants over there.
Yeah, and two of them said, yeah, they lied, because there weren't any giants over there.
Right.
But so, and then, and two of them, you know, Joshua and Caleb said, we got this. We can do this. You know, and then you look at David, you know, sweet, good looking David, who's just been, you know, out.
Just for the record, he had red hair.
Yes, he did.
Just for the record.
That ruddy complexion.
I mean, I'm not really going too far with that. I'm just stating a fact.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, when he walked up there and he heard, you know, this giant who was real and, you know, saying these things about his God, you know, it, you know, that righteous indignation welled up within him, and he ran. He ran to meet Goliath, you know, and Nehemiah, and he wanted to rebuild the wall. And, you know, he had, you know, a tool in one hand.
Preach it,
and,
girl.
You know, and so that's
right.
You know, that's not by accident that God told us about all those stories. When I first heard about abortion, I remember being very angry at my parents that they weren't doing anything. And I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And I remember that. And I said, what is this? You know, how is this happening in my country where I live? What are you doing? Mm. Well, you know, why do we let this happen? So the spiritual warfare of it is intense. It is extremely intense. But it's worth it, Steve.
Yes.
It's
Amen.
Worth
Amen.
It because there is a mama and a daddy and a little baby who needs somebody to be their voice for
them.
Right. Yes. And you know, I know what that feels like. I know how she feels when she thinks, you know, she's hearing abortion is her only option. I hear that. I live that. I know that. So in my personal story, I knew that, you know, I could go back home and break my parents' heart. I knew I could do that. I was going to do that. But I knew that, you know, God gave me that baby for a specific purpose.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And she, I mean, honestly, she's why I'm sitting in this chair today.
Yes.
You know, and single motherhood is difficult.
Sure.
And living in the projects is not that much fun. But it is worth it. You know, it is worth it when you look at your child and you say, oh, thank you, Jesus.
With God, all things are possible. That's right.
Yes. Absolutely.
Jan Lewis, 35 years in the life movement. Have you ever seen a situation or you've been involved with a situation like this? I mean, so obviously head to head. I mean, literally, geographically, spiritually, the whole nine. How do you relate to what's going on right now with Hand of Hope?
I'm thrilled that we're at that point that the Lord has said, this is the property. And there's a whole long story that's unbelievable about how he laid it in our lap. And we had to fight for it, like going in the promised land. So we've been praying out there for a spot. And I'd been sidewalk counseling out there, waving and smiling and handing out a beautiful brochure. And the Lord did some amazing things. So there'd been a lot of prayer out there already. Mm-hmm. We probably 6 years ago were out there. We was going around different houses praying because we believed the Lord said, you need to occupy. This is where you need to go.
Amen. That's right. We have more than conquerors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we really,
we're not on the defensive.
That's right. Right.
We're on the offensive.
That's right. Right. And the Lord loves the people in that abortion clinic. And that's part of our heart.
Amen.
Too.
That's right.
We pray for them by name. We know that the Lord loves them. The Lord loves the people in the Raleigh City Council that were in opposition, and I appreciate we're not battling flesh and blood. We
Amen.
Love those people.
That's right.
And so we've been given the opportunity to pray for them as well. And we just believe the Lord said, go forth. We've got an online prayer team. We just say, give us 5 minutes once a week. And
is that at handofhope.net?
It is. You can sign up to be on our prayer
yes.
team there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, and this is obviously a little closer to home, what's going on this Sunday, the
yes.
Walk for Life and Run Baby Run, which is a 5K race. But for people that are in the Triangle area, Raleigh, North Carolina, Durham, Chapel Hill, but if you're in Charlotte and you have a heart for this, if you're maybe up in Richmond or if you're over in Winston-Salem, let me ask you a question and then we'll find out the details. How far would you drive to save your own child?
Mm, yes.
How far would you go to save your daughter's child or your son's child or your grandchild or your neighbor's child or somebody at work? How far would you drive? How much out of your way would you go to stop that? If you knew what was happening, how far would you drive? So there's your loving little challenge from your friend Steve. But this Sunday, the Walk for Life Run Baby Run 5K. Tell us about that, Tanya.
Yes. So Sunday, May 6th at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, is our 13th annual Walk for Life and Run Baby Run 5K. It is, we do raise our own funds. It is one of two major fundraisers that we do every year. You can get more information at handofhope.net, or if you want to give personally to my page, I'm happy to take it because I'm a little bit below my goal a little bit because of the lawsuit. So I'm on Facebook. I'm public
yes.
on Facebook. It's Tanya Baker Nelson, and there are links there that you can take and partner with us financially through that.
So each kind of team walking is raising money.
Right. Yeah, you can, like individuals, families, church groups, everybody.
Yeah.
So, yep, you can register for the race the day of the race. Registration begins at noon. We'll have City Barbecue is catering it for us. And then everything really kind of gets going about 1 o'clock. There's a fun run for the kids. This year we'll have a mechanical bull and a rock climbing wall and, you know, stuff like that. So if I could ask your viewers to please pray that it does not rain.
Amen.
That
right.
is a big, you know, hindrance there. So yeah, don't rain, please, Jesus, on Sunday. But it's a great,
and it's a family thing. Bring the kids, got all kinds
yeah,
of stuff going
we
on.
We say wheelchairs, strollers, walkers, everything, dogs, everybody. So, it's so beautiful to see the body of Christ in action.
Amen.
In action. And we say a lot of times, if you're not part of the solution to abortion, you're part of the problem. And our children are watching us.
Yeah.
Our children are watching us.
Right.
And we need to teach them what it means to have, you know, faith without works is dead.
I told all my older brothers and sisters last night, which was funny because when they first asked me up to speak, she goes, now remember, Steve, you speak up because you're speaking to the audibly challenged.
I'm
like,
oh.
And I shouldn't be yelling. Like, it's not good for my voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have a choice last night. And one of the things I told them is, you think that the opposite of love is hate. It isn't. It's apathy.
Which
takes you into the book
agrees.
Of James. It's to know
what to
and not care enough to do anything.
To do.
That's
mm-hmm.
act. That's it's really bad to have the power to do something and do nothing. And that's why James brings that up. But everything going on real quick, Janice, and we're talking about Hand of Hope, handofhope.net, and the Walk for Life and Run Baby Run 5K is this Sunday, May 6th, starting at noon. Tell us real quick about the prayer team, because I want to go back to that.
So about before Christmas, we decided what we needed most is more people praying. I threw out to Tanya, I said, how about this idea? 5 minutes, once a week on the email. Nobody's going to be asked to come to any kind of meeting. We just want you to pray. Give us your email, and we'll send you 5 or 6 prayer points. Be on our team. We need you, that kind of volunteer.
And anybody listening on KDIA in San Francisco, you can do that. If you're listening on K-Lite in Hawaii, in Honolulu, you can do that there. You can do it in International Falls. You can do it in Billings, Montana, wherever this show is heard, because now you know. So now you got to do something with what you know. Tanya, thank you so much for being
here.
Thanks for fighting this fight. Janice, for you as well. And thank God for Noel Sterrett. HandofHope.net is the website, HandofHope.net. Walk for Life, Run Baby Run 5K this Sunday, May 6th, starting at noon here in the Raleigh area, North Carolina. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.